Hey, let's open our Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12 today. Good to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope that you've come ready to worship. Of course, a preacher, a lot of times will get the most out of a church service. Does anybody know why? He has to prepare, and there's a preparation involved, and you pray, and you study, and you spend hours in the Word, you know. So when you're coming, you're ready to roll. Everybody needs to prepare for meeting. And you prepare by asking the Lord to help you worship from your heart, help you sing from your heart, asking the Lord to reveal to you something from His Word that you particularly need to hear. So if we all prepare for the service, it makes a great deal of difference. You can't come here and say, "Oh, it hit me with it." I mean, no. You got to come ready to be fed. And I think praying, preparation, if you do that before you come, it makes a great deal of difference. Now, what we've been doing, and this is our fifth message. We got one more message to go. The series I'm doing on Sunday mornings is entitled The Hebrews 25s. And what I've done, as I've said in the beginning, is I picked out every chapter in Hebrews that had a 25th verse, and I've done a message on that 25th verse. And here's what we've done so far by way of recap. Hebrews 7:25, saved to the uttermost, was our first message. And, of course, the uttermost means that He saves you. The idea of uttermost, I want you to listen to this, is completely and forever. That's the meaning of uttermost. Let me say it one more time. Sounds good. Complete saves you completely and forever. That's what it means to be saved to the uttermost. That's a big deal, isn't it? That's what salvation is. Hebrews 9:25, Jesus not offered often. Jesus is offered one time. That was the second message. Hebrews 10:25 was don't abandon God's house. We got a great problem with that today, especially where you have a great host of people that just take for granted God's house and they abandon it. We need God's people to come to the house of God and worship. And that'll make a difference in your life, and that'll strengthen the church along with that. Then number four, Hebrews 11:25, which had done announced it, will be on the radio, Lord willing, tomorrow, choosing the eternal. Okay? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you stand again. Let's stand in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to just stand and show respect to the reading of the Scriptures. And this will be our Hebrews 12:25. This will be our fifth message on the Hebrews 25. It says this, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for these people that are here today, each one of them. All these young people that are here too, Father, I want to especially mention them. So thankful that they're here and apart. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would bless this message. We feel that the Holy Spirit is here. But Lord, we pray that you would bind the strong man, that he calls no disruptions today. And Lord, that this be a powerful message because it's used by you. And we commit it to you. Use it as you see fit. Bring glory and honor and praise to your precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, we're just going to give this a little basic title, and the title is going to be Refuse not him that speaketh. Let me say it one more time. Refuse not him that speaketh. It's really a warning text, and actually is what it is. It's a warning text, and it's warning you that whenever God's word is being spoken, not to refuse it. Not to refuse it. A lot of times when you preach the Word of God, some people give it a listen, but at the same time, they reject it and they don't receive it. They refuse it. And you know what I'm saying is the truth. So the purpose of this text, really, it's a warning text that when you hear the Word of God, not to refuse it. Now, you're thinking I'm just talking about sinners, but I'm not. I'm also talking about Christians, too. Because sometimes I'll teach something from the Word, and it's maybe some type of doctrine that I teach on, and you've probably heard people say this before, I don't care what you say, I don't believe that. Really? If God's Word says that you should believe it, whether you like it or not, there's some doctrines that I preach today. That when I first heard them, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's really true. And then when you get to looking, you say, well, if that's what God's Word says, that's what I'm going to believe. And that should be your attitude. Acts 17, verse 11, talking about the Bereans, it says that they received the Word with readiness of mind. It means they were open-minded. You can't do a whole lot with somebody that's closed-minded. They received the Word with readiness of man. Then they searched the Scriptures. How often did they search the Scriptures? Daily. Now, I can guarantee you that they didn't have their own copy of the Scriptures like you do. Imagine they got together, and of course, the Bible was still being wrote then. We got it so much better in that we have the whole what again? We have the whole book. So the Bereans received the Word with readiness of mind. Then what did they do? They searched the Scriptures to see whether it was so. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Not to refuse Him that speaketh if what He speaketh is the Word of God. And if it's the Word of God, it behooves you to accept it, believe it, and defend it. So, refuse not Him to speak. It's only 2 points. That means Hollis Sung will be about a 20-minute message. 2 points. Only a 20? No, I don't guarantee you that. But only 2 points. We're going to look at the greatest speaker will be the first thing that we look at. The greatest speaker. And then we'll look at the great salvation. The greatest speaker and the great salvation. The salvation that we have, is it great? Scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a? It's a great salvation. You ought to thank the Lord for it every day. The greatest speaker and the great salvation. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to try to stay close by if I can. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, the greatest speaker, who do you think the greatest speaker that ever lived was? Well, I think the greatest speaker that ever walked this planet was Jesus. I don't think that anybody that ever walked her had the unction of the Spirit that He had. I mean, He came from where at? He spake from where? He came from heaven. So you talk about an authority on spiritual things. It was Jesus. I like this text. I'm just going to tell you where it was at. I want you to stay there in Hebrews with me for a little bit. I like the text in John 7:46. Whenever the temple guard was sent down to arrest Jesus when He was speaking, I could just picture this in my mind. Here the temple guard come down to get Him, you know, and Jesus was preaching. Well, while He was preaching, they just started listening. And the more they listened, the more spellbound they got. And they just started listening to Him. And the next thing they know, Daddy, they just turned around and walked back and went back to the chief priests and things. And they said, well, where is He? They were so spellbound by the power and the preaching that He was the greatest preacher that ever lived. They were so spellbound by it that when they asked Him, where's He at? He said, here's their statement. No man speaketh like that man. And I think He was the greatest speaker that ever walked this earth. There will be a day. What a glorious day that'll be when I get to see King Jesus and I get to sit down and listen to Him teach His. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be. Sit around Him and let Him just instruct and teach. So that's the greatest speaker. And He's the speaker that came down from where? He came down from heaven. So let's look here at Hebrews chapter 1. I want to show you a little something here that I want you to remember. I was going to put my little graph up there, but, well, true to form, I forgot. Hebrews chapter 1, notice what it says. God, who at sundry times and in diverse different manners, He spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, prophets, of course, were a special office. God would speak to them through a vision or a dream, and He would share with them what God had to say. The Old Testament scriptures are called Moses and the prophets, and that's what the Old Testament scriptures consist of. Now look at verse 2. So He spoke in time past by the prophets. Everybody got me? Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc. But He hath in these, what days? Everybody see the term last days? He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds. Now, Jesus was here 2,000 years ago on this planet. Now, we know that because the Bible says it, but I want you to also understand that if there are any skeptics here, it's also a historical fact. We got B.C. and A.D. We even count time by Him. It's a fact that 2,000 years ago of history that Jesus, a man by the name of Jesus, walked this earth. Now, of course, we know it because the Bible says it, but history also shows it too. So, it calls the time that Jesus was here, it says He hath in these last days, He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. The time that we're living in now is the last days. People ask you that all the time. They go, do you think we're in the last days? He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So what does that tell you? We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. So you say, how much longer we got? Now, the Lord don't tell us how much longer we got. Nobody knows the day or the hour that He comes. Only the Lord knows the date and the hour that He comes. But I'm going to give you a little something interesting. Now, this don't mean nothing. I'm just giving you something interesting to think about. From creation to Abraham was 2,000 years. From creation to Abraham was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus was 2,000 years. Jesus here the first time how many years ago? 2,000 years. So, I thought that was pretty interesting. You say, Jeff, you say the world's 6,000. Yeah, I know the world's 6,000 years old. It didn't have to evolve up. He made it mature and complete. You know, He set the Sabbath by that. As a matter of fact, in the book of Exodus, He says that you're to work 6 and you're to rest the 7th. Because in six days I created the world, and He ceased to labor on the 7th. What kind of days were they then? They're 24-hour days. You know where you get your work week from? You ever look back? We go by weeks, don't we? Where did the work week come from? We come from Genesis 1, didn't it? 6 days, you do your labor, you rest on the 7th. So guess what? Yep. We're in the last days. Let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3. I think we're in the latter stages of the last days. What I'm trying to tell you is really nothing left has to happen in prophecy for the sweet King to come anyhow. John chapter 3. We're talking about the greatest speaker. Who did I tell you the greatest speaker was? It was Jesus. Nobody spake like Him. When did Jesus speak? He speak in the last days. Are we in the last days? Have to be. There's no other way to slice it. We don't know exactly when He's going to come, but we do know that this indeed is the last days. Let me tell you something. You need to be ready to go up. You need to be ready to go up because it indeed could happen. It could happen today. You need to be prepared for it. Jesus is different from other speakers, not only the fact that Jesus was God, but Jesus is different from other speakers, Coy, in the sense that Jesus is a speaker that came down from heaven. See the difference? I mean, we've had prophets that preached and received revelations and things from God, but Jesus lived in heaven. And he came down here, he descended to the earth, see, and taught on spiritual things. Notice what this says here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 13. No man hath ascended unto heaven, but he that came down. See, it's stressing the fact that he came down. Nobody ascended to heaven and came down to teach. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. Now notice what else it says. The Son of Man, which is where at? Which is in heaven. Though Jesus took a body of flesh, he still was God. He still was deity. And it even mentions him as still being in heaven too. Did you notice that? Y'all ever noticed that before? You think he ceased to be God when he took a body of flesh? He still had all the attributes and things of God. I thought that was a pretty interesting text. I don't want to get off on that, but I thought that was cool. He ascended. He descended. And he has the distinction of being the teacher that came from heaven to earth. What a glorious thing. Now, we don't have any teachers today like that, do we? We don't have any teachers today that descended, that could say, I come from heaven and I'm going to teach you spiritual things. Now, we got people to claim that. We have people to claim that. But Jesus is really the only one that descended from heaven to earth and walked here for 33 years and taught us. Isn't that a glorious thing? We have his teaching. Really, the whole book is his teaching. We say, well, the Gospels records all of Jesus' teaching. The whole book is Jesus' teaching. Jesus was God in the flesh. Turn over to John. Well, let's see. Let me get one thing while I'm here. He said in verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now he says in verse 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now here is the Savior from heaven giving you an illustration of how he saves a sinner. And he goes back, he's in Israel, and he goes back to Numbers chapter 21, and he gives an illustration of how he saves a sinner. And he brings up to Nicodemus, he's talking to Nicodemus in this text. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a religious lost man. All kinds of religious lost people. Nicodemus was no different. He came to Jesus by night. You say, well, how did you say he was lost? Because Jesus said, ye must be born again. He was a lost man. Knew about creation, believed in God, prayed, went to temple, observed the feast days, lost as lost could be, because he never trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And he said in verse 14, as Moses lifted up, he took him all the way back. He would have known all about this story being a Pharisee. Of course, the children of Israel disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord sent a plague of snakes on them. A plague of anything in the world but snakes. I hate snakes, don't you? Hate them. But a whole plague of them, and there's poisonous snakes. And they were dying all over the place. And then Moses intercedes for them, and God says to make a serpent out of brass. Every time you see that medical emblem, it'll remind you of that. That's the only reason why I mention it to you. Make a serpent out of brass and put it on a pole. And you go in the midst of the camp, and you set that standard up, and here's what he says. It'll come to pass whosoever does what? Y'all remember? Look. You look, you'll live. And he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must I be lifted up. Was Jesus lifted up on a pole? Lifted up on a cross, that's what it was a picture of. A snake, though? We understand Jesus being pictured by a lamb. We don't have no trouble with him being, but pictured as a serpent? Why would he be pictured as a serpent? What happened to the serpents? They were a cursed creature, wasn't they? You realize that whenever Jesus was placed on Calvary, that he was cursed for you. That's the reason why you have the picture of the serpent. Well, you look, you live. So, Jesus is the greatest speaker. He's the one that descended from heaven and taught his truth here on the earth. Let's get one more thing here in John 6, and I got to move. John chapter 6. Notice what it says in verse 31. Jeremy preached two sermons from this. One of the best, or not the best message I ever heard. One of the best. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. So who was Jesus? Where did he come from? Like John 3 said, he descended. In John 6, Jesus told him the origin, where he came from. He said, I'm the true bread from heaven. You receive me. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. You eat of the bread that I give you, you shall not die. Talking about himself, talking about receiving him as your Savior. So Jesus has the distinction of descending from heaven and preaching and teaching his word. He was the greatest what again? He's the greatest speaker. Greatest speaker ever. Does Jesus still speak today? Yeah, I think the Lord speaks through his word. I get nervous when people start having visions and things outside the book. I get real nervous when somebody tells me that kind of thing. Almost every time you hear them on TV do that, they'll tell you where you can send the money to them. I get nervous when people talk about that thing. I think he sealed up the vision and the prophecy with the completion of the Word of God. I think he wants you to go by the book. Many times, and you'll see it often, especially today, you'll have a lot of people that are false prophets. They'll have a vision or a dream or something, and they get on the scene and they draw all these followers after themselves. Makes me nervous. And it should make you nervous too. You say, well, that's awful hardcore. I just want you to go. Here's all I'm saying. Go by the book. You got it right there in front of you. He sealed up, according to Daniel, the vision and the prophecy, closed it out with revelations. You got the full book. You got the whole book. And you got your own copy. And if you don't got your own copy, we'll give you one. We got a whole case of them upstairs. We'd love for you to love to give you a Bible if you don't have one. So it's very important, you see. How does Jesus speak today? He speaks through his churches. He speaks to his churches. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. You think people need to go to church? One reason you need to go to church is so you can be taught God's word. We tell everybody they need to go to church. You need the strength of an assembly. That's what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, to intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of... Where do you find the manifold wisdom of God taught at? You find it taught at his church. His churches teach the manifold wisdom of God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, a church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. Jesus speaks through his word at his churches. Holy Spirit uses the word to bring the salvation to the sinner. The seed of the new birth is the gospel message. He uses us to spread that gospel. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Growth comes by the word. After you're saved, you need to grow as a Christian. How do you grow as a Christian? You grow through the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You need a steady diet of it. He speaks to his churches as the churches spread his word. Doesn't it make sense if the Lord had a job to do that he would organize an institution to do it? I mean, for instance, in Matthew chapter 28, he's talking to his disciples, which made up the first church, which became known as the Church of Jerusalem. He told them to make disciples, to baptize them after they're made. And then what did he what else did he tell them to do? Teach them. Instruct them. I'm giving you the book. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You should be able to find the truth at God's house. So you need to come and hear it taught, and you need to be a part of one. You need to be a part of one of his churches. That's one of the ways that the Lord speaks today, through his word at his house. You know another way the Lord speaks today? He speaks through the creation. Romans chapter 1 says the creation of the world is clearly seen, so that those who would say there is no God are without excuse. Did y'all realize that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20? The creation of the world is clearly seen. One of the evidences of God, other than the Bible and other than the changed lives by Christ, is the creation. The creation, when you look at the order of creation, and you look at the sun and the moon and the stars, and you look at all this handiwork. Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, his handiwork. How does God speak? He speaks to his churches, but he also speaks to his creation. I mean, when we look at things as something that's been made, we just assume a maker, don't we? With anything else, that's how we think. Just this pulpit right here. When you see the pulpit, you assume a maker. If I told you that there was some wood down here in front of the church, that's all pieces of wood, there's a bottle of glue outside, and there was a big explosion down here, and it became this pulpit, what would you say? We realize that when you see order and design, there has to be a designer. Everything else, we just assume that. We always assume a maker. Yet, our children are being sold a bill of goods. And the farther they get in this school system and the education system, the more their belief in a creator is attacked. And they go after it. To try to discredit the whole book, they go after Genesis 1 and verse 1. He speaks to the creation. He speaks to his churches. You know another way he speaks to these people. In the book of Acts chapter 8, it says persecution came and the people were scattered. I mean, the church of Jerusalem got massive. It wasn't really the Lord's will for them to get massive. It was his will for them to press out, start churches in other places, and the persecution did that. Acts 8:4 says those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere they went, they talked about Jesus. And that's what we do. We come and gather for worship. Then when we scatter out to share the message with other people. Well, that's the greatest speaker. Jesus is that speaker that came down from heaven. He says, refuse not him that speaketh. Refuse it not. When you hear something from the Word of God, even if you don't like it, search and see it, whether it's so or not. And if it's so, what do you need to do? Believe it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, You've heard the Word of God. You heard how to be saved. What do you need to do? You need to trust it. You say, well, what if I don't? Then you refused it. Refuse not him that speaketh. Let's move on to our second point now. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's get back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus said to refuse not him that speaketh. And Jesus, of course, is the one that came down from heaven, as we've showed you. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have learned, lest at any time we should let them do what? Let them slip. You know, I listened the other day, and I can't remember who I was listening to, what preacher I was listening to. He said, churches, in many cases, if they don't stick to teaching the Bible, sometimes they'll have a preacher, and then they'll have another one maybe for a long amount of time. And then, as a lot of times older people die out that believed the truths of the Word of God and stood for the truths of the Word of God, if this new generation don't do so, then what happens, a lot of those old Bible truths that were stood for years are lost. And those churches at one time that were solid and sound drift. Start doing the things that, they just drop the book. They quit teaching the Word. They quit making that the priority. So we can let things slip. We take earnest heed to the things that we have learned, lest at any time, it says, we let these things slip. We don't want to let nothing slip. In order to let nothing slip, you got to teach on it constantly, off and on, so people will see it, people will believe it, and people will make a stand for it. To where it ain't just a preacher making a stand for it. It's the church that makes a stand for it. Eventually, I'm not going to be here no more. So the truths that I preach and stand for, you need to see those yourself and stand for them yourself. Because if you'd get another preacher that might hold the different views and things on certain areas, you can lose some things that way. So you need to have your own personal convictions about what the Word of God teaches, lest at any time you let them do what? You let them slip. Don't let them slip. Let's read on here in Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You see, he's constantly stressing this to the Hebrews. And the reason why? They were letting things slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Don't let them slip. Give earnest heed to the things that you have learned, lest at any time you should let them slip. What's verse 3 say about our salvation? It's a great salvation. Oh, let me say that one more time. What kind of salvation is it? It's a great salvation. Do you realize this morning that you have a great salvation? What's so great about it? Well, it delivers you from hell, doesn't it? That ain't all it is, but I'm telling you, it's a deliverance from condemnation. We're born in sin. We're born under condemnation. When you trust Christ as your Savior and you receive that great salvation, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's great, isn't it? I told you before, I can remember sitting in those pews, not them ones, the old ones. They used to wax them. Them old ones didn't have no cushions. Wax them. If you fell asleep, you'd slide out on the floor. I always thought that was pretty cool. But they'd preach. They'd preach, and they'd preach on the importance, the necessity of salvation. And they talk about how great it is. Boy, it is great. Isn't it great being saved? Do you miss being lost? If you miss being lost, talk to me after services, because there's something wrong there. I don't miss being lost. It's a great salvation. Free from condemnation. It's great because it brings you to heaven. Can't imagine living in this life without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of my days. You can't imagine living in this world without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of the day. I'm getting worse about it. I listen to all these people, they'll get on TV and they'll talk about all this money and all these athletes and how great they are and how wonderful and how they got it all. They ain't got it all. They ain't got it all unless they trusted Christ. It's a great salvation. It's great. No condemnation. Brings you to heaven at the end of your days. The Lord's going to come or I'm going to die. Either way, I'm ready to go up. Isn't that great? You said you're afraid to die. Well, I ain't wanting to right now. But I know that if I do, where I'm going. And I know who I'm going to see, and I know who I'm going to be with. I know I ain't going to be in that ground, so don't talk to my tomb. Because I ain't going to be there anyhow. Go be with the Lord. It's a great salvation that gives you victory over death. Gives you eternal life. And gives you peace with God. I could talk all morning about how great this salvation is. You need to give earnest heed to it today. You need to listen to it. See the importance of it. And refuse not he that speaketh. That's what the title of the message is. Don't refuse him that speaketh. When you sit under the message and you hear the message of salvation and you hear me talk about victory over death and you hear me talk about eternal life and you hear me talk about heaven and you hear me talk about hell, don't refuse it. Don't refuse it. Let's turn to 2 Peter 2. I'm about done. I still got a lot to go, but I think I'm I'm going to do what I think the Lord wants me to do. 2 Peter chapter 2. It's a great salvation. See that ye refuse not he that speaketh. In 2 Peter 2, it describes a people. And the way I read it and the way it reads, I think, is there are people that have made a profession of faith in Jesus. But they turn from it. Have you ever seen anybody make a profession in Jesus and turn from it? I think it's described right here. They make a profession. Now, I'm heavy on the profession. And then they do what? They turn from it. Now, watch this. Now, are you ready? If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. It says the latter end is worse than the beginning. I don't know if you ever dealt with anybody that, and indeed they are. I've seen people make professions, they drift off into horrid lifestyles, and their latter end is worse than even before they made the profession. Just drift worse and worse and farther into sin. Have you ever seen anybody do it? Describes it right here. For it had been better not for them not to have known. I want you to hear this. It'd be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Why would it be better not to have even heard it? Does anybody know? Their accountability is greater. You think that person over in Africa somewhere that's never heard the gospel and dies without the Lord, and you take that person that's set here in the United States, maybe within the distance of the Baptist church here in Bancroft, that have heard it and heard it and heard it, but refused it. It'd be more tolerable in the day of judgment. Jesus said it. He told it to those that lived in Capernaum where he done all of his miracles. Jesus went into Capernaum. That was his headquarters in Galilee. And he'd done many miracles there. And he says, on the day of judgment, here's what Jesus told Capernaum, the men of Capernaum. He says, in the day of judgment, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. For if the miracles and signs and wonders that was done in you was done there, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, God's people said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Him that speaketh the Scriptures, because they're God's word. I don't know how it is with you today. I pray, if you're here, that you've trusted Jesus. I pray that you have. I know you've heard. I've told you a million times here from this pulpit, but some of you don't know whether you're saved or not. You've never said nothing. I'm just going to be blunt. I don't know whether you are or not. You've never said nothing. So I don't have to tell you whether I'm saved or not. No, you don't. You don't. You don't. But after you're saved, you need to be baptized too. That's how it's made public. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Told you about Jesus time and time again. Won't you trust him today? Won't you trust him today? If you're here today and maybe you have some things you need to do, the Lord's revealed to you that you need to do. Maybe you need to mind the Lord in baptism. See that you refuse not him. It's because baptism is a command. I hear all the time, it don't save you. I realize that. But it's a command. It's part of the commission. After you become a disciple, he wants you to show it. He wants you to make it public. He wants you to be part of one of his churches. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. You'll hear saints talk from this pulpit sometimes that you might not like. Check it out and see whether it's so. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. That's a warning text. Because if a man's preaching the book and teaching you the word of God, it behooves you to search and seek whether or not it is so. Oh, God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you.